Hello everyone. I hope that everybody's doing well. So here I am recording my first podcast. It has taken me a little bit to do this. There has been a lot of insecurities and fears around me recording my podcast. I have been wanting to do this for a long time, but my fears kept preventing me from doing this. I listened to other podcasts and I did some research about how is the best way to do this, and it seems a little bit complicated for me. Not that I don't know how to use the technology, but it just felt complicated for me because it's too elaborated. It has to be professional, it has to be edited, it has to come in this particular way in order to attract people, in order for people to listen to you and listen to your words or listen to what you have to say. As an indigenous woman, it's really hard for me to navigate anything that has to do with a capitalistic society, anything that has to do with selling something. So there was a lot of barriers for me in order for me to do this. So slowly I've been shedding those fears. Slowly I've been letting go of my preconceived ideas of how it's supposed to be. And I'm just here recording my words, sharing my perspective, my thoughts, my experiences, and whoever feels touched about what I have to say will listen to my words, even if it's not completely professional. Although I am putting a lot of energy, I am putting my heart into all of this, there will be many times that I will be very vulnerable as I'm recording myself. So in this first podcast, I want to do an introduction of who I am. I have been sharing my words, my thoughts, my lived experiences as an immigrant indigenous woman who comes from the lands that we know as Mexico for 5 years. I have been sharing a lot of my thoughts through Instagram and Facebook. And I feel that when I do that, my words, my thoughts, they just get lost. So I have been brainstorming on better ways of how I'm going to be sharing all that I have to say. So I felt this was a good way for me to do it. A more tangible way for my words and thoughts to create an impact. Also, as someone who shares a lot of controversial topics, social media has silenced me. And since that happened, I knew I needed to find better ways of how to share my words. I used my words as a form of activism. So it's important for me that my words are able to be out there. It's important for me that my words are not silenced, because what I have to say, it's important. I am an indigenous woman who comes from the lands that we know as Mexico. I was born and raised in those lands. English is not my first language. And although I speak and I write English fluently, I don't think and I don't feel in English. It has become part of my life. I speak English all the time. But I notice that sometimes to express myself, it's hard at times. Spanish is my first language, and I am aware that Spanish is the language of the colonizers of those lands. So Spanish was not the language that was spoken by my ancestors. But here we are, this is our reality, and just like many indigenous people, I have been assimilating all the effects that colonialism left behind. I grew up in a very unconventional household, just thinking about how Mexican families can be very conservative. I was trying to think of the right word. And religious. But my parents were neither conservative nor religious. I grew up as a Catholic, but I believe that it was more like a social engagement that my parents felt that needed to happen. But not so much that they believed in religious views, because at home, they always talked to my sister and I about the truth of religion. So I grew up knowing that religion was a lie. I remember also when I was 10 years old, I was taking Bible study to do my first communion. And that's when a lot of questions came for me as I was reading the Bible. A lot of things didn't make sense. I just couldn't believe that we came from Adam and Eve. I thought to myself, oh, this looks like incest. And I just couldn't believe that the world was made in 3 days. It just didn't make any sense. I had a lot of questions. And questions that I have been finding the answers throughout these 41 years of life in this world. I was always very outspoken. And now that I think about it, I was always against injustices of any kind. Whenever I saw animals suffering, I would speak up. Whenever I saw people throwing trash on the streets, I would speak up. Whenever I saw elders or indigenous people being mistreated, I would speak up and I would cry. I remember telling my dad that I wanted to study international relations to be an ambassador, so I could create shelters for dogs and I could help people that didn't have a good life. So that's always been on my mind. It was a small family, it was only 4 of us, my parents, my sister and I, which is also a little bit uncommon for a Mexican family. I must say I grew up having everything. My dad worked really hard for everything that we had. We don't come from money, but my dad worked a lot to give us a good life. And he knew that education was going to be one of the most important things for us. And he made sure that since we were little, we knew how to speak English, because he knew that being bilingual was going to be something that was going to bring a lot of opportunities for us. So I started learning English at the same time I was learning Spanish pretty much. So when I came to this country, that was easy for me. I was always a rebel. I was always the black sheep of the family. I remember I always felt different. I thought in a different way. But I guess at that time I did think that maybe I was just a little bit crazy. Now thinking back on it, I just know that I was just embracing another part that my family was not embracing at the moment. Even up to this day, not all my family embrace our indigenous roots. Or they might not be fully aware of the stories that we hold. And this is another effect of colonialism. At the time growing up, it was not something that it was important for me. But I did grow up seeing my family raising animals. Some of my family make mole or cacao. I grew up being part of like the indigenous traditions. I enjoyed going to El Rancho and playing with the animals and being on the dirt. And I remember loving all of that. At the same time, it was sort of like being part of another life once I went back to the city. I grew up in a small town at the time. It's close to Mexico City and it's called Toluca. It's a big city right now, but it was very small. By 7 o'clock, everything was closed and the lights went out. When I think back of my childhood, I can say that I had a really good childhood. It was happy. My parents loved me, and I had what I needed. Of course, now as an adult, I think back of a lot of the things that happened in the dynamics of my family, and of course there is drama. But I'll talk about that in another time. When I was 15 years old, my dad became a quadriplegic. He was the love of my life. We were so connected. Even up to this day, we're still connected. When that happened, my world turned upside down. It was as if I felt the world was just betraying me, and I felt abandoned and hurt. My dad was still alive, but as a quadriplegic, it seemed like he was not there. There were definitely tough times in my family at that moment. I was just a little girl, and although I know that for many people, and including close friends of mine that grew up in this country, in the United States, thinking about being 15, they were already sort of like grown-ups or wanting to be grown-ups, living, you know, all the experiences. But when I was 15 years old, I was still a little girl. I was still playing with my Barbies. I remember I loved playing The Office. So it was hard for me because all of a sudden I felt alone in the world. In a world that I didn't fully understand. My mom had to work 3 jobs, so she was gone all the time. And my sister and I, we kept going to school and then we would take care of my dad as well. That was a really hard time in my life. And I felt hurt, and I felt that the world was just punishing me for something. I was rebelling, and I just couldn't understand exactly what was happening. Until one day, I got out of my bubble, And I knew I had to show up for myself. At that moment, I understood that there was not going to be anybody else there for me but myself. So I took on that task, and I feel that that's the way that I've been leading my life throughout these 25 years. I have had many experiences. I lived all over Mexico, in small towns, on the beach, embracing everything that has to do with my culture. Back then, there were different times. At the same time, I do remember that things changed at some point. I was around 12 years old when NAFTA happened, and all of a sudden, all these American companies started arriving to Mexico. And that's what I called modern colonizations. That was my first experience with a modern colonization. All of a sudden, Walmart was there, McDonald's, the free trade. Well, not free, but that's how they call it. It started happening, and it was a complete, like, boom. At the moment, I really didn't understand it, you know? It was not clear to me. Just all of a sudden, the places that I used to go to whenever I came on vacation to this country with my family, they were at home. And it felt like, oh, wow, we're part of the first world. We're just like the United States. Growing up in Mexico gave me two different points of views of this country. There was this part that it was known across the world that America, the United States, was the best. It had the best roads. It had the best food. It had the best of everything. It was clean. They had the best education. And there was sort of like a brainwashing or an idea that we needed to inspire or aspire to be like this country. At the same time, there was another idea that white people were bad. That white people did all these terrible things. There was also the idea of that white people were sort of not very smart. When I lived in different places in Mexico, especially the beach, you know, we would have tourists, and they were the typical gringos, as we call them. And I want to specify that gringos for Mexico, it can be people from the United States, it can be people from Canada, it can be people from Europe. In general, is white people. So in the touristic places that I lived in Mexico, we would see the typical gringos. The ones that consume. The ones that would just stay in the hotels and go to McDonald's or Burger King and didn't embrace our culture. We would just make fun of that. So I had two different visions. But I never really wanted, I never aspired to come here. I never aspired to be part of this culture. I remember there was a time that one of my aunts was coming to live here, and she asked me if I wanted to move here. I was around 17 years old. I was just finishing school. I was already working. I was very independent by then. And I had a good life. And I told her that I didn't want to do that. I told her that I was happy where I was at. And that I didn't want to come and live here. It was my sister that came at the time. I was living in Playa del Carmen, Tulum area, which I assume many of you have heard or have visited. I lived there, I moved there before the 2000s. And it was a magical place. It was a small village of fishermen. The Mayan indigenous people were so peaceful and relaxed and chill, and I loved being there. I could definitely say that those were some of the most amazing years in my life. I was fully independent, living on my own. I was not even 20 years old. And I had a good life. I was enjoying myself. It was just such a magical place. It was definitely such a magical place, and it still has a very special place in my heart. But then my experience with a second modern colonization happened in that area. If you have never been there and you go there now, of course, it's still a beautiful place. But if you have been there and you have only been there in the recent years, it's nothing like it was before. There were virgin beaches all over the place. You could camp on the beach. You could just walk for miles without seeing anyone. It was such a magical place, everything. The indigenous practices that we did, the people live on the beach in their shacks, the local people. It was just beautiful. And then a modern colonization happened. Walmart came, Sam's Club, Burger King, McDonald's, TGI Fridays, all-inclusive hotels with thousands of rooms. And it changed. And I could honestly say that my heart broke. It's still sad for me that I can't go back there. And I don't think I can even go back there as a vacation. It has become so expensive that it's just not part of my life. At the same time, the changes that have happened in the area are so drastic that it just makes me hurt. My daughter was born there. She was conceived and born there. And it was so magical. She was born in a small clinic. She was supposed to be born at home, but it took a long time, so we just went to a small clinic to help a little bit. But she was still a natural birth, and it was just the most amazing experience of my life. And that's when I came to this country in 2003. 16 years ago. It was January 2003. I went to live in San Francisco. I remember when I left Playa, That's how he called it, Playa del Carmen. Living there, a lot of people were sort of putting fear on me about coming to the States. Even American people, they were telling me to be prepared. They were asking me why I was leaving. But I knew in my heart everything was gonna be good. I came and I had an open heart for everything. But I remember when I moved here and I was walking the streets in San Francisco, applying for jobs or just going to the store. I do remember feeling how this culture, this place was so foreign to me. But I had my family, I had my daughter, so all my energy went to that. I lived there for 7 years. And I can say that I had a good life. It was other times. It was way before the economical crisis happened in 2009. It was definitely a good experience. Experienced a lot of things. Experienced subtle racism. You know, people coming to me and asking me why, how come I was speaking such a good English? Or people telling me, oh, but you're not like the other Mexican people. At the time, I didn't really understand a lot of the things that people, white people would tell me. They were weird comments, but deep inside of me, I felt that they were compliments as well. I came to this country married to a white man. So that was my buffer. And he had been living in Mexico for a long time. He grew up in Mexico. So it was good that we were able to come together and share all these things, you know, how weird white people were. Even though he is white, he felt the same way. So we just created our little bubble. And it was good. And although I was seeing certain things that didn't resonate with me, I was just putting it to the side. In Mexico, we grew up, our culture has a lot in their upbringing about respect. We have to respect. Everything is really about respect. That's how I was brought up. Those are the morals that my parents gave me. Just respect people. Respect whenever I was going to somebody else's house, their way of living. So I thought of that. I thought, well, you know what? I'm not in my country. It's not like I'm at home. So I need to respect how things are here. And that's what I did. A I'm going to fast forward to this present moment. Because what happened after I left San Francisco is those experiences are what took me to this place today, which I will be sharing with you in my podcast. When I got divorced, that buffer, that protection was gone. And that's when I experienced this country in a different way. I have been separated from my ex-husband for 10 years. So what I have experienced in this country since then completely shook my world. My blinders came off in regards to a lot of things. I've always been a person that has a lot to say. I'm a very passionate person. About everything that I've done in my life, I put all my passion, I put all my energy to that. And I just feel that I have a lot to say because I have had such a full experience of life in regards to many things. But as my blinders were coming off, as my experience in this country was changing, I experienced a lot of trauma, I experienced a lot of pain. And I honestly didn't understand all of that was happening. I didn't know how to express, how to tell people what I was experiencing. I couldn't even tell that to myself. I couldn't put a label to it. It was hard to completely put into words what I was experiencing on an energetical level, on a spiritual level, on a physical level as well. I am a medicine woman. I carry good medicine in me. I carry the light and the dark. And all of that started coming out as I was having this new experience in this country. For many years, I have shared my medicine in regards to what I talk about domestications, how we all have been domesticated to these societal norms that has to do with the way that we see ourselves, the way that we love ourselves, the way that we move in the world. I used to share a lot about nudity and how us as women, we have to be ashamed of our body, or showing our body, when the women's bodies objectified continuously. But when we do it from a space of empowerment, that's not good. So I have been sharing all of this for many years. I have been sharing a lot about spirituality, but from another angle, from connecting with both the light and the dark. But a few years back, something happened in me. I honestly have no words to express what happened, but something happened. And all this energy came out, all this knowledge came out, all that I carry within my sacred blood that goes back to my ancestry, it started bubbling and just coming out, just like a volcano erupting, and I just couldn't stop it. There were times that I wanted to stop it because it was bringing a lot of pain, a lot of anger, but I just couldn't. And as all this energy, all this knowledge, all this pain, all this anger, all this trauma is coming out, I felt I needed to share all of this with other people. I felt it was important for me to share all of this, to shed light on things that we have consciously decided to put on the side as individuals and as a society. So I have been sharing my words, I have been sharing my thoughts, I have been sharing my experience as an Indigenous woman, as an immigrant to this country for the past few years. Social media has tried to silence me. People have tried to silence me. I'm aware that my medicine is strong and powerful, and it's controversial. And it's that sort of medicine that sometimes we don't want to see in the light. We want to keep it hidden because that's convenient. I'm here to disrupt the status quo. I have called myself a non-bullshit speaker and writer. I know my words, my thoughts, my medicine can trigger anyone, regardless of the color of their skin. But I feel that it is important for me to share this, my words. I have been an activist for a long time. I have attended protests. I have been part of organizations trying to create a change. I have been there, done that. But at this moment in my life, I feel my words as a form of activism is the way that I want to put myself out there. I always tell people, I want to create a ripple effect. I want to tickle people's brain and create a ripple effect in their lives, which therefore is going to create a ripple effect within their friends or family, and then it's just going to spread. As an Indigenous woman, I would like for humanity to go back to be in connection with Earth as we used to live. My work on decolonization is about the rematriation of the lands, which for me, it means the reclaiming of our sovereignty, reclaiming of our identities, reclaiming our connection with Earth. I might not see that in my lifetime. I'm aware that there is this bigger reality. These systems of oppression that are bigger that what I can share with my words. My work on decolonization has to do a lot with healing oneself. I honestly would like to see humanity getting past race in order to create a change. Humanity to get past all the labels and all the division that has been given to us by the patriarchal white supremacy system so we can live in harmony. That is my vision. That is what I envision. I see how all these labels, I see how religion has created the division that keeps us apart. And it's not just anymore people of color fighting with white people. It's people of color fighting with people of color as well. Because these systems have created such a programming, such a false reality that we all have accepted, that we all are part of it, we're in it, that we cannot see the bigger picture. So this is me. I will always show up raw and authentic as I can. There is not a big production behind me. There is not a lot of resources behind me. I do this because I am passionate. About life. I am healing my ancestral trauma. I am healing those stories that I carry in my sacred blood. And this bigger power is guiding me to do this. And I have to do it. Because I do ambition a change in the world where we can live in harmony. Is it gonna happen? I'm not sure. I have 2 kids and I do wish that this world could be better for them. The way I see it now, I'm not very optimistic, and it's sad to think that my kids are not going to experience life the same way that I did. And I'm not talking about them having the same experiences, just I'm talking about life, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking that my kids are gonna be unable to probably get in the ocean because it's gonna be polluted and it's not gonna be safe. I'm talking about my kids not be able to see or know about certain animals, but only seeing them on the computer or on a book because they went extinct. I'm talking about my kids not able to consume clean water and having to buy water because we are destroying our natural resources. And I could go on and on, but This was my introduction. I am gonna be sharing a podcast every week on Fridays. And thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here. And if you have any suggestions of topics that you wanna talk about or that you want me to talk about, you can email me at PilarMejia@decolonizationmovement.com. All my information is gonna be on my accounts, so you can see that. I'm really, really looking forward to my next podcast. I will be announcing every time that I release a podcast. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the people that are listening, that have been supporting my work for many years. I really appreciate it. And I'm really excited about this new adventure. And thank you so much for listening, and have a good day.